Lord. To the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Now, here the scripture is telling us, to the angel of the church in Smyrna. Smyrna was an important seaport, which is about 36 miles north of Ephesus. The presence of imperial cult, the emperor was imposing worship on him, that people should worship him. They wanted the Christians to begin to worship the emperor. Are you together? So it became like a religious cult. The worship of emperor became like kind of a state religion. So because Christians were very dedicated to God and they wouldn't do such a thing, they attracted hatred from the emperors, Nero, Demetrius, and a large Jewish population was persecuted. They made their life very difficult, especially for the believers in Smyrna. And the church, this church in Smyrna and Philadelphia, didn't receive any rebuke, unlike other churches. We're looking at the seven churches in Asia Minor, the letters to the seven churches. So this church of Smyrna and Philadelphia did not receive any rebuke from God, from Jesus. But you see, they were undergoing persecution. They lived in a time when the church was undergoing a lot of resistance from the world, from the world system. Praise the Lord. Just like now, the attack on the church, on the body of Christ, on the Christian values is so high. And right now, the war is at its peak. When you talk about homosexuality, you talk about what? It's the war of values. It's a war of value systems. Do you know that when a businessman is said to have a lot of money, there's no problem with that. But when the church of Jesus Christ or a leader, a spiritual leader, is known to be having a lot of wealth, do you know that is a concern in the world? The world rejoices to see the church in a state of poverty. And what these other churches, the Roman Catholic Church, because these traditional churches, the Anglican Church and the Roman Catholic Church, Anglican Church means the Church of England. Are you together? And then the churches came here by the explorers. And then the what? The colonialists. And the church was seen as a means to advance colonial agenda in the different parts of the world. And the Roman Catholic Church was, the spread of the Roman Catholic Church all over the world came after the church reformation in the 1500s. Praise the Lord. When the Savonarola, they began to develop a counter-reformative strategy to restore the image of the church after Martin Luther left. Are you together? That's when they established the Church Missionary Society, the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus. They made vows to advance the agenda of the church. Are you together? Then they came up with the Church Missionary Society. They came up with different aspects. Others went into educational sector. Top world scholars are Jesuits. Praise the Lord. They went into the military intelligence. They went into science. They went into different things. These are make major people behind world politics and world systems. Are you together? Praise the Lord. Then you have the Church Missionary Society, who went everywhere. Wherever they went, they put a church, they put a hospital, then they put schools. What that strategy was to advance the values. Are you together? Yes, we thank God that the Christianity was imparted. But of course, there are other values because of the interference of the state and the church. The emperor deciding over matters of the church. Huh? So there were a mixture of cultural values of the Romans into the worship of God in the church. That's why you see some things that are not in the Bible. Things like rosary, things like statues that were not worshipped, were not meant to be worshipped. There are some religions that are using those things. Are you together? But you don't see them in the Bible. Praise the Lord. I was debating with Father Nam on those things. Sometimes on One Road TV, we were, I think someone not ago. Praise the Lord. So you see that there's a lot of those interference that came up. So when Martin Luther, who was a monk, a priest, the church, stood up to challenge under the days of King James and those, they revolted. They said, no, we want to worship in our language. We want to have the Church of England, not the Roman Catholic Church. So that's how the Church of England came out. What we know as Anglican. Now, the Queen or the King was now directly over the church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then they, of course, appointed Bishop of Canterbury. And then from that, now the European missionaries, who came all other parts of the world, where the British colonies were, you'll find that the Anglican churches have been there. Praise the Lord. So those are a bit of histories. But you see, the church went through a lot of issues. The church went through a lot of issues. And now many people are following what they don't understand now. When you talk there about biblical Christianity, they say this one came late, so it should not be right. Because it came later, it's not right. Huh? So, the church as manner was going through a lot of persecution. There are three things that we are going to see from this passage that God wants us to look at. The first thing is that God takes note of what you go through for the gospel. I imagine as a church living in a very confused world, God is up to something with us. He's looking at us. Are we going to loosen our standards like the rest? I started explaining to you that what we see in the world is a war of values. And I want you to know that money flows in direction of values. Are you together? Money finances values. I know at a lower level, people think, okay, money is, of course, money is a means of exchange. Are you together? You exchange valuable things for money. Huh? Praise the Lord. You want food, you want sugar, you want what? But you see, at a higher level, money finances ideas. Praise the Lord. What the wealthy uses to control the world, they use money to advance ideas. Praise the Lord. Now, do you know that the aspect of homosexuality is an ideology? Are you together? It is an attempt of certain minority groups in the world that want to control the world population. Are you together? They want to control the world population. People are multiplying too much. So we need to promote this. Are you together? That's one of it. But also, they are vowed to dishonor God in their ways. So, there are billions of shillings. There are billions of shillings. The LGBTQ things that beginning to preach to even children in schools and all that to divert their orientation from childhood. By doing that, do you know that the West has become weak? Western countries have become weak in population. We have more people who are older. We have more older people than younger people. Praise the Lord. More older people and younger people. And people are weak. If things continue in certain ways, let me tell you, in the next 10, 20 years, there are some Western countries that are going to completely come down. Praise the Lord. That's why we need to appreciate Africa. We need to love ourselves. Love your home. Love your country. Our country is the best. And the Westerners are admiring our country. They're admiring to come to us. Those days, going to the West was symbolic of success. But let me tell you, we can succeed here. Praise the Lord. We can succeed here. We are the best. We breathe fresh air. We breathe free air, fresh air. We eat fresh food. Praise the Lord. But they want to come and destroy our good environment. May God help us to know that we are sitting on the best. Hallelujah. I managed to travel a little bit. I managed to travel a little bit in other parts of the country. Not very far, but I have learned to appreciate Uganda. Praise the Lord. I've learned to appreciate Uganda. There are countries you fly over and you wonder, you see, it's dry. It's not green like Uganda. When you come over Uganda, you see greenness. Praise the Lord. You see greenness. There is an ambience you enter in, which is very unique. Praise the Lord. If you get a chance to travel around, you will see. Praise the Lord. We are eating apples from South Africa. We are eating oranges from South Africa, from Kenya. Do you know we have the best land in Uganda? We are eating oranges and apples imported. You know, in South Africa, there's no the place is not green like this. They use irrigation. Praise the Lord. They use irrigation. The land is like Karamoja. Karamoja is very fertile. If they are empowered with the right irrigation, we can produce the best fruits. We can have best apples coming out of Karamoja. We can have best food coming out of Karamoja. Hallelujah. You have land in Amor. You have land in Moya. We have land here. Let's use our land for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. So, you see now, right now, the world systems, they have channeled a lot of money, billions of dollars are channeled towards advancing wrong ideas. Now, the fight is against the church of God. They monitor the things of God. They want church money to be in the church. Praise the Lord. Recently, Mr. Mond, they were questioning Apostle Grace, the beggar, because they bought land of how many million? They bought very big land, over 5 acres in the city. Bought several billion. They said, where do you get money? Where do you get money from? Then he was telling them, we have generous congregation members who give selflessly. Praise the Lord. The money we get is from the contribution of these generous fellows. Praise the Lord. And the church is part. But you see that it's a concern to the people of the world. Hallelujah. They want believers to stay broke. That's why they came with the teaching. You people of God,
You just continue praying. Just mind about prayer. Praise the Lord. Leave things of politics to us. Leave things of money to us. Leave things of politics to us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that it is foolish making decision on behalf of the church. This church should be saying hallelujah, not involved in anything. And even the church has come to a point of settling for that. That we don't participate in politics. Sometimes we even don't vote. Somebody said, if you don't vote, accept to be ruled by fools. Praise the Lord. It is time. Ask me as a pastor. I want to pray for leaders to rise out of the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm praying for Christian leaders. If you are called to politics, go ahead. We'll pray for you. Let God use you. Why? You represent kingdom values. Hallelujah. Amen. Your value system is what we want to advance. Money, finances, values. Hallelujah. Imagine as a church, when God begins to give us billions, what can we do? The challenge is, many people are also trying to exit poverty. That's why when they receive some amount of money, because their heart is truly not for God. When your heart is not for God, money changes. Money will divert. Money will expose you. Money exposes what you carry. You can pretend to be humble when you are broke. Praise the Lord. Somebody can look humble because they are broke. But money exposes what you truly are. See your behavior pattern when you have money. That is actually what you are. Hallelujah. Amen. What you are capable of doing. The reason why some believers, God does not allow money to stay in their hand. Some people, God loves other people so much that he does not want them to have a lot of money. Because if you are exposed to a lot of money, there are things that you do that either destroy you or destroy others. That's why God is after your heart. God is after your values. Now, you realize that even as a child of God, there are circumstances you go through, difficulties you go through, and you wonder why. And many of them have to do with finances, by the way. Even the hardest part people go through, financial difficulties. People reject you, yes. People leave you off. People don't support you. But all of that somehow relates to resources. But you see, beyond that thing, what God is more interested in this at all is not even the money aspect, it's the values. The reason why God allows even money to be in your hand is because of the values. Praise the Lord. As a man, one way, the reason why God will bless you and allow your struggles succeed, your assets to go through, is because of the people connected to you, your family, your children. Are you there? Praise the Lord. Those are values. You value family. Praise the Lord. When you begin to depart from that, you're also going to struggle more. Praise the Lord. You're going to struggle more. God is the God of family. God values what advances the cost. What builds humanity. Praise the Lord. So may God help us. That's why before money, what you need is a vision. What is it about? A vision from God is not selfish. It has to do with making the life of other people better. So long as you have a vision before God. That's why I want you to know that when we get ourselves ready, God is going to surprise us. Praise the Lord. Anything to do with God, in my few years of working with God, I have learned, if it's my personal thing, I need to just be patient and wait. But if anything to do with the ministry, the house of God, God takes care of it in his way. Praise the Lord. It's just a matter of time. You know, when we are buying this land, we are contributing money to small, and then we are stuck. We needed like 9 million. And we are praying. In one day, God sent two people. One person gave 8 million, one person gave 1 million. That's how we paid for this land at first.
Who remembers?
Your left.
Praise the Lord. We wonder, how are things going to come?
That one proved to me the things of God are added by God.
Even our construction,
God will help us.
We'll do our part, but God will show himself stronger.
Hallelujah. Even your life. Look at your life. What is my life meant to achieve? Some of you have the call of God. God has called you to serve him. But you are still insisting on other direction. You are insisting on your other career. That's what happened to me. I was supposed to go and study a medical course. And then God said, I've called you to serve me. Go to Bible school. I was being called to go to school. I was put up on the path to either accept to go and do a medical course or continue with my foolishness of shouting hallelujah. They look at me as a fool. Most all my siblings never agreed with me. Praise the Lord. But I said, God has spoken to me. Can you imagine your young boy, you say, God has spoken to me. Praise the Lord. Nobody understands what does it mean. It's only time that proof that God spoke. Praise the Lord. In our family, they know God has spoken to me. Now they know. It was not a mistake to honor the ways of God.
That's why I believe in my heart that your direction in life is more important than your speed.
You must desire God's guidance in your life. God takes note of what you go through for the gospel in your life. First of all, we see here Jesus is introducing himself as the Alpha and Omega to the angel of the church in Smyrna. These are the words of him who is the first and the last. The first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. Signifying his sovereignty over the affairs of life. Jesus emphasizes his sovereignty over the affairs of life. He's sovereign over every part of your life. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, the scripture says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And in verse 17 it says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I live forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and hate. Hallelujah. Can you imagine whatever you're going through? Jesus here comes to encourage us. I'm the first and the last. That means whatever happens in the middle, I'm in control. Praise the Lord. Whatever is in the middle, however hard it becomes, however challenging it becomes, Jesus says, you'll find me at the beginning, you'll find me at the end. That means when you're faithful, you will stand strong and pass the test of time. He introduced himself as the one who was dead and now lives, which is a reflection of his victory over death. That even death cannot hurt you. Why? Because it reflects his victory over death. Hallelujah. And Jesus takes note of the situation of his people, the tribulation. We see in verse 8, it says, Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, it says, this is the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. Then verse 9 says, I know your afflictions. I know your poverty, yet you are rich. Tell your neighbor, God knows. God knows what you're struggling with. God knows what's giving you a sleepless night. God knows what bothers you. God knows what you're lacking. And yet, calls you rich.
What a hope, what a thought to know that God knows. Do you know that what frustrates us the most is when we think the right people don't know what we're going through? The people who should understand you, understand your pain, understand your challenges, understand your suffering, when they seem not to care, not to acknowledge, not to support you through that. Do you know how painful it becomes? And somebody said, what pains the most is not the pain of your enemies, caused by your enemies. Sometimes what pains the most is the silence of a friend. Praise the Lord. The silence of the people who are close to your heart. And yet, many times we put our confidence in people. And when we are beaten down by life, we can't rise up again. But God identifies with us, saying, I know what you're going through. Tell your neighbor again, God knows. He has taken note of that. And for him, he does not just take note like anybody who knows what you're going through and cannot change. He knows and he has the power to make a difference. He knows and has the power to make a difference. And then, why, you'll ask yourself, if God knows, why doesn't he help me now? Are you together? See, God did not create you a robot. Mr. Toy, you're not a robot. God has made you a creature of free will. And he can't abuse your free will. That's why he asked you to ask. He knows what you need, but he says, Matthew 7:7, right? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Now, if God really knows what I want and what I need, why does he ask me to ask? Is it not him who said ask? It's God. What does asking imply? Asking implies acknowledgement of his sovereignty, of his supremacy. It's a gesture of humility. Are you together? It's a gesture of humility. When I ask you, can you help me with this? It means, first of all, can you help me with 5 million shillings? So you might be annoyed that, why are you asking me a lot of money like that? I told you I have money. And then you check your pocket, you see, I have 1,000 shillings. And I'm asking 5 million. Then you know why somebody asking me money. Do people get annoyed when somebody asks them sometimes? Why is it bad if you over ask people, they begin to avoid you? Why people are avoided beings? Actually, they have a lot of things. Then they have gaps. Praise the Lord, they get tired. But when somebody asks you, they acknowledge the potential in you. They see that Mr. Thor is capable of having his mind. Praise the Lord. But in reality, you check yourself and realize, okay, you know yet that I'm mistaken. There's nothing. Praise the Lord. Okay, you don't usually tell people there's nothing. Praise the Lord. Because there is a potential you to develop yourself. So it's not coming to here, but maybe later. Praise the Lord. Yeah. May when my wife asks me difficult questions that require a lot of money, I say we shall see and handle. We shall handle later. Because when money comes, we'll be here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be a millionaire with 1,000 in your pocket. It's possible. Hallelujah. You can be a billionaire with 2,000. Hallelujah. It's a temporary situation. Because God can change the status anytime. God can alter it anytime. Praise the Lord. So, God asks you to ask. God tells you to ask. Now, asking There is a sure answer from God when you ask. Asking pleases God. Asking, you are asking God, pleases Him. And it already has a ready solution for you because of your asking. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall what? Receive. Pray and ask. So, God wants you to ask Him. But you know what? The devil fights your prayer life. He doesn't want you to ask God. He doesn't want you to pray to God. And if you are to ask, sometimes you put wrong motives in your heart so that you ask wrongly. Oh God, give me so that I show this lady. So that I show myself. God does not answer such. What the enemy fights most in people's life is their spiritual life. Fight your faith. Fight your prayer life. Fight your commitment to God. Are you together? So that you're not asking God the right way. You're not talking to God the right way. You have many things missing in your life. Your life is complete. But Jesus says, I know your poverty, even though you are rich. I know the tribulation, the pain, the challenges you're going through. Somebody say, Jesus knows.
Jesus knows.
In Luke chapter 12, verse 24, said, they are rich towards God. Talks about being rich towards God. Hallelujah. Being rich toward God. When we got born again, the Bible says, became poor so that we may be what?
Rich.
We're rich. We're rich towards God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, if you're a child of God, even though you have no money, you're rich. Hallelujah. Say, I'm rich. Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're not rich because you have a car, because you have what? That's not riches. Are you together? When you have life, you are rich. You have breath, you are rich. Praise the Lord. You have Jesus, you are rich. So, he said, I'll make them acknowledge that I have loved you. Revelation 3:9. Now, the second thing that we are seeing here today as we come to close to the end, that Jesus encouraged us to remain faithful through the test of time. In verse 10, the scripture says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you suffer persecution for 10 days. Now, 10 days here is not necessarily used literally, because this is an apocalyptic book. Apocalyptic means, apocalypse means books that talk about the end time. And they use a lot of symbols. Are you together? Are you understanding? They use symbols, words. So like 10 days is not necessarily meaning what? 10 days. But it's implying a season or a period of time. Praise the Lord. Implying what? A period of time. You're going to go through seasons of challenges. Seasons of past persecution and hardship. But Jesus is saying, remain faithful through the test. It will be painful for your flesh, for your body. But what God is after is your next level. God is after your faith. God wants to promote you. God wants to increase you. God wants to lift you. God wants to bless you. But he wants you to pass the test. Will you pass the test of time? Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Matthew chapter 10 verse 22 says, you will be hated by everyone because of me. But one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Even because of Jesus, even because of the gospel, some people will hate you. In verse 10b, it says, you will be tested for a while. Here it says, for 10 days. And it's calling us to be faithful until death. In Matthew verse 24, chapter 24, verse 13, it says, one who stands firm to the end will be saved. May God help you to stand firm to the end.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. No pressure of life should disconnect you from fellowship with God. No amount of challenges in life should take you away from the love of God. May God help you to be faithful to the end.
James 1:12 said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Praise the Lord. Someone said there's a crown of life. You meditate on James 1:12. When you persevere challenges, God will crown you. Hallelujah. Finally, God promises to reward the faithful saints. In verse 10d, he says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Praise the Lord. I will give you the crown of life. You can choose to be faithful. The Bible says, he wasn't here, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. By the way, what does it mean to be faithful? Somebody would transliterate, or understand that word in a simple way. Faithful, full of faith. But we don't define it like that. To be faithful is to be steadfast. Are you together? To be consistent in your conviction, in your pursuit, in your belief. Are you together? To be faithful is to be consistent, to be dependable, to be reliable. A faithful person can be depended on. You can depend on a faithful person. Because when they say, I'm coming, they come. When they say no, it's no. When they say yes, it's yes. Are human beings always faithful? Are they always faithful? But God is faithful. Why are we not faithful? Because we change. Our characters change. We change by feelings. We change by thoughts. We change by different aspects. But God is faithful. God is not affected by weather, by time, by the challenges of life. God is consistent in his ways. God is immutable. God does not change. And God is consistent in his word. He will not say one thing today and say another tomorrow. If you hear anybody saying God said one thing and that contradicts what they said before, probably it's not God, but people. Sometimes people make it seem like God contradicts himself. He does not. It's people who contradict themselves. The truth, which is the word of God, is the same. And the truth does not lie. The truth does not change. But the people who handle the truth change. The challenge is with people who are the truth. There are so many processes going within us. Are you together? That makes us misunderstand truth. But the word of God is pure, dependable, reliable. Let the word of God guide you in everything you do. Praise the Lord. Anyone can change. I can change. You can change. But the word of God does not change. It's constant. And what he says, he will do. God promises to those who overcome, that he who overcome shall not be hurt by the second death. He who overcomes challenges will not be hurt by the second death. Will not be hurt even by that challenges. God will help you to come out. There's a way God will help you to come out. Praise the Lord. Let's stand on our feet today. We'll look at three things as God is challenging us to be faithful. Let's stand on our feet. As we go through different tests in life, we need to know that God is taking note of what we are going through. And that He's encouraging us to remain faithful through the test of time. And is promising us reward for faithfulness. God rewards faithfulness. Many times, when things become difficult, we lower our standards. Hardship of life causes us to become unfaithful. The pain of circumstances causes us to betray the gospel and Jesus and lower our standards and begin
to live contrary to what we have held as the truth. May God help us to be faithful. Lift up your hands and talk to God. Say, Lord, help me to be faithful. I want you to talk to God right now. Begin to talk to God. Talk to Him about what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. And sometimes we make so many excuses and compromise our standards because of the pressure of circumstances, the pain that circumstances bring. But I want you to commit yourself to God today. The Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to remain loyal to you. Help me to keep following you. Help me to keep seeking your face. Help me to stop complaining but trusting you and believing in you with everything in my life. Come on, just go ahead and talk to Him. Just go ahead and talk to God. Lord, we believe in you. Lord, I look to you. Lord, you are my treasure. You are my priority. You are my everything, Lord. Lord, you are my hope. You are our hope. You are our defense. You are our all in all, Lord. Without you, we fail. Without you, we fail. Without you, we cannot succeed. Without you, we cannot make it in life. Lord, we depend on you. Lord, we rely on you, Lord. We rely on you, Master. We rely on you, O God. Help us to be faithful. Faithful to the call you have put on our life. Faithful to everything you have called us to do. Faithful in our families. Faithful in our calling. Faithful in the ministry. Faithful in service. Faithful, Lord. In the name of Jesus, help us to keep our heart on you. Help us to keep our heart set on you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. You are good God. You are a great God. You are a mighty God. Lord, even this week, no matter what we are going through, the challenges, the difficulty of life, oh God, we pray that you open doors of resources. You open doors of connection. You open doors, oh God, of ideas that will help us to create values. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for your people. I pray for my friends. In the name of Jesus, let their business take shape. Let their business prosper. Lord, bless their families. In the name of Jesus, help them to overcome every heat, every challenges they are going through. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray for your blessing. I pray for your grace. I pray for your strength upon their Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, every demonic power building resistance against the light, I cancel. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak a blessing upon them. I speak a blessing upon you and the works of your hands, upon your children, upon your family. May you excel. May you increase. May you explode financially. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. May God help you and strengthen you through every trial, through every challenges, through every atrocities. And may you overcome and come out victorious and receive the reward of an overcomer. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Clap your hands to Jesus. Praise the Lord. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. Amen. Today,